Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 20th on the West Coast, now June the 21st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show. Well, people are asking me why I'm not getting upset with certain accusations that are being made. It's ridiculous. It's not worth getting upset. In fact, after listening to the accusations, I've responded. Instead of getting mad, I prefer to turn and listen to some music. In fact, I had a request from Kedala to play a song. And I'm going to dedicate this to her and the folks on the Alliance. And the song speaks for itself. Doesn't that make you feel good? Well, it's Monday night, and my regular Monday night guest is a host of his own talk show on the Micro Effect Network. He's a PhD and a naturopathic doctor. He's a prolific author, researcher, essayist, journalist, and my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Ah, welcome again. Thank you, Doctor. Doctor. I'm sitting here cracking up off air. Oh, my goodness. We won't need to say anything more.
There's a song for every occasion, as I
There always. Is a song. Yeah, good night. Oh, I'm doing great, Don. Glad to glad to hear your voice again and to be the guest on your show. You know, I just got through with another show an hour or so ago, and interesting things coming up. You know, this connection with Ted Gunderson is quite amazing. You know, there's information with Michael Reconosciuto that is still quite sensitive in many areas concerning the plan for martial law. Now, if you believe some reports, Ted Gunderson's an infiltrator in trying to make this all happen. But no, the model doesn't fit, Don. I've met Gunderson a few times. I've broke bread with him. I've shared many intimate moments with him. You get to know the heart of the man. And it's a very tender heart that cares deeply. And I might be totally wrong with that assessment, but I don't think so. He's very caring. He's compassionate. And of all the things he could do after retiring from, you know, the FBI post, you know, most people would maybe go into some type of consulting firm or big corporate structure and corporate security and make buku money. No, he's donated thousands of hours to helping children that have become victimized. And you'll never hear these things talked about on Geraldo or any other talk show, but I know what he's done, great works of good. I just know he has. Okay, now, the accusations made against him that he's somehow in concert and league with Michael Aquino, well, just look at the difference. Michael Aquino is a heel that I say is well healed. I mean, he's got plenty of moolah, millions of dollars. He lives, you know, he's a jet setter. If Gunderson was an ally, a true ally of Michael Aquino, why is Ted Gunderson having to live off the largesse of his friends to pay for cell phones? You know, he couldn't make his car payment because of the cost of his cancer treatments. You know, the man lives from pension check to pension check. That's a sure sign that he's not a COINTELPRO agent. COINTELPRO agents always have buku money. They just do. They seem to get it from anywhere, from nowhere. They live in quite nice lifestyle, lavish many times, homes and et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't fit, Don. And, you know, I just hate to see injustice. I guess that's the Libra scales in me. You know, but I don't see it. I just flat out, the character assassination of me is bad enough. But doggone it, to have Ted Gunderson maligned this way, and he, you know, in my opinion, he should be given medals. But you know, it's sad. It really is, because it takes away focus on so many other things that we should be looking at and going into. I wanted to talk tonight about a post I had received. I was on this for the last hour and a half, Don, and my goodness, what a story. I clicked on it. I thought I'd just scan it. It's concerning the events of concerning the Japanese tsunami. Mm-hmm. And I followed the links, and wow. This guy, I'm going to see if I can get him on a guest on my show. His website and his research appears to be, my golly, right on point. He has somehow located, and he's posted these copies of the OSS documents this is the Office of Strategic Services, the precursor to the CIA, their operation, their psychological operation being planned against the Empire of Japan. This is stunning information. Absolutely stunning. Used to be marked secret. Now it's available. Are you aware of this?
I'm aware of two researchers who have looked at data that actually corresponds with some things that we've been saying on the show, particularly with Zuranova Star Livingstone and Kenadachi, pretty much since March.
What exactly were they? Have you been saying? I need to be up to speed a little bit.
Okay. Well, first of all indications are that the nuclear power plant suffered the results of a nuclear explosion, but not a meltdown. We're talking suitcase nuke. I should add Jim Murray to that too, because and Jim's a scientist and inventor. Jim has a lot of contacts in Japan from over the years because he's done a lot of research there. And the people there are saying, what are they talking about in the United States? That's not what's going on here in Japan. They determined that they know who put the device in the nuclear power plant. They spotted a naval research ship off the coast of Japan at the time of the tsunami. And all indications are that the tsunami itself was caused by, an underwater nuclear explosion.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get at, because let me tell you this. And I checked out what he's posting here on this, and I got to take my hat off to this guy. Not my hand.
but I should say that the earthquake itself was a scalar event. This was not a natural earthquake, okay? So that's basically what we talked about.
Okay, here's what he shows. He actually posted the actual seismic readings. And I never really dug deep into the U.S. Geological Service's website. When they you can access each of these seismic stations. Now, this guy had done that. He just didn't take the official story that it was a 9.0 earthquake. He says, quote, that you have no idea really how big a 9.0 is. It would literally devastate an area about 1,000 miles across, even in the ocean base. He said the entire nation would be in ruins.
It would level the buildings, most likely.
Yeah, level it. The 6.9 Kobe quake did so much more damage. So what he's showing here is photographs and video dissected of the homes in the Fukushima region before the tsunami hits, Don, and they aren't earthquake damaged at all. They're not at all. The damage was occurred by the wave.
Yes, the initial shots of the smoke, billowing smoke coming out of the the reactor or the containment building was a dark brownish grayish kind of smoke. It wasn't white, which it would have been had it been caused by hydrogen. So, you know, when you have a fire, intense heat and there's water, and they're claiming that it's the tsunami that caused that it would be white billowing smoke. So you can tell by the color of the smoke that the story doesn't stand right up to that scrutiny.
Well, again, he goes in and explains the evidence. Again, like you said, the Navy ships, the Navy presence, the radioactive cloud didn't come from the main, from the island side out to the ocean. It came from the ocean in. The recordings. Now, here is, I just want to share this secret document. It's entitled Psychological Warfare Earthquake Plan Against Japanese homeland. This is a top secret document put out in 1944 by the OSS on how to create psychological terror in the Japanese mainland. Wow, it's amazing. It for a number of reasons. You read this, you see how they have infiltrated through the Chinese mainland. They have infiltrated into the Japanese society and created COINTELPRO propaganda agents and how they do it. What their design is all to be is to get in and to appear to be professionals, appear to be people with credibility. Then they would begin to put out scientifically sounding propaganda that would all be in concert with an end result. Again, a Hegelian dialectic in action. This is an amazing read, Don. Flat out an amazing read.
It's got the graphs and charts and that with it too, I think, right?
Well, yeah, to some degree. This is again, keep in mind, this is a typewritten. Back then, they didn't have a lot of the graphic capabilities, of course. Mm-hmm. This is just on a typewriter.
Oh, okay.
Page 5 is really significant, and I'll see if I can pull this up here. My computer is really doing its thing, if you know what I mean. Oh, golly. It froze up on me, darn it. yeah, because this is good stuff. I mean, it really raises your eyebrows. It did mine anyway. Let me. I don't know if I have time to reboot. If I rebooted this, I'll lose the connection on Skype. So can't do that. Oh my goodness, that's unfortunate. What can I do?
Can you do a forced quit?
A what now?
A forced quit. Is it locked in your, what program are you using to read the document?
I don't know. It's on my Apple. It's just frozen.
Okay, that's probably preview. Click on your preview icon and then hit Option, Command, and Escape. Hold all three keys down simultaneously.
Well, that's all. I'm going to definitely get us knocked off if I do that.
No, that's just, you look up in the upper left-hand corner. If it says preview, that's the active program.
Upper left-hand corner.
Under your screen.
Yeah, I don't see it, though. I've got probably an older program here.
Well, they're pretty much all the same. It'll say
wait a minute. Let me go back and reboot or refresh it. Almost here. Let's see. We'll get there. But anyway, it details exactly how to set off a tsunami and or an earthquake combination off the coast of Japan. And what it, you know, was projected what it would do. And this is 1944. I mean, this was to this level was studied intensely in the 1930s and 1940s. The question I guess I need to ask, Don, is this concept, this science, is it ignored? Or has it been utilized? Could it have been utilized in the Indonesian tsunami for specific reasons, you know?
Well, yeah, it can, but there are other elements at work at the same time, which we've discussed on other shows. And that's the fact that there is a presence on this planet that is from outside of this planet, and there's a lot of shenanigans going on. Now, in terms of what I would say about Japan, why would they be targeting Japan? Is this after the war that this was written, or was it written at the start of the war?
This was when they were, you know, fighting the Pacific you know, island hopping campaign. They were looking at an invasion, of course, of Japan. The nuclear option was already on the table as well, right?
Mm. Yeah, but the word is that the Japanese surrendered 9 months before they blew up those two atomic bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So if that's the case, then it had more to do with, you know, follow the money. The Japanese had acquired a lot of gold and had buried a lot of it in different places, even in the Philippines. And in fact, maybe the majority was buried there in the Philippines. And it's always follow the money. So they were after the gold.
Well, what this author is postulating here, Don, is simply that he shows the evidence that Japan had agreed to enrich enrich the fissile material for Iran's reactors. And they had done so openly without, you know, over the objections of the nuclear the international nuclear regulatory agencies. That is what he postulates as the reason, okay? Because there were supposedly retaliatory threats given against Japan if they proceeded to allow that enrichment. Now he it's a pretty doggone convincing case here with a ton of footnotes he gives, and he also has this New Zealand Herald article dated Tuesday, June 21st, which would be right now. This is again the website going back to an article by a man named Eugene Bingham back on September 25th of 1999. Here's what Eugene Bingham wrote back then. Quote, top secret wartime experiments were conducted off the coast of Auckland to perfect a tidal wave bomb, declassified files reveal. An Auckland University professor, seconded to the Army, set off a series of underwater explosions triggering many tidal waves at Whangaparao in 1944 and 45. Professor Thomas Leach's work was considered so significant that United States defense chiefs said that if the project had been completed before the end of the war, it would have played a role as effective as that of the atom bomb. Full details of the tsunami bomb, known as Project Seal, are contained in 53-year-old documents released by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Papers stamped top secret show the U.S. and British military were very eager for Seal to be developed, to be utilized in the post-war years, too. Now, he goes on to show that all of those nuclear tests in the Pacific and Bikini Atoll, it wasn't, you know, why explode bombs underwater, you know, in the ocean? And there were many of those, Don, you know that. Is it, you know, how many people are they going to bomb underwater? Are they, you know, trying to kill a submarine fleet? You see, he shows in documents in his article this was all to determine the movement capabilities of this on trenches, et cetera, et cetera. It's quite an amazing, revealing article here.
Hmm.
And so he goes on to then show that with the trade winds or the movement of, you know, there's quite a bit of radioactivity in the water as it flows in towards the shore, that the radiation recorded by the Navy ships, etc., in the area was not fallout from the nuclear plants. That was a cover story. That's a stunning story. Now, that's not to say that there's not leaking, you know, nuclear material, but at the date you know, the first days after the tsunami, the Geiger counter readings were from the fallout from the ocean-borne nuke. That's what he's declaring, and it makes sense. It really does. The leaking material didn't reach really crisis stage until quite a few days after.
There was another nuclear event in Canada, too, around the same time. In fact, when they were reporting that the radiation was coming here and passing over America, and somebody got a reading in somewhere in Rhode Island. Well, that's what they say. Unless you're there to witness it, how do you know that they actually got that reading? They're making that claim, and you know, everybody was buying up all the iodine remedies that are out there to protect oneself against nuclear poisoning. But then all of a sudden, nobody said anything. Now, on mainstream, you don't hear much about it at all now. It's a foregone conclusion. On the alternative media, however, Planet X is still on the way. A brown dwarf star is still on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, heaven help us.
You know, anything just to keep people, you know, in fear. And to counter what we're saying, because neither of those stories are true.
And, well, there's definitely something. You know, everything you hear on the mainstream media is just so questionable. I mean, it's just I've got to tell you, it's amazing how you really have to look past the obvious and dig a little deeper. Yeah, golly, why Japan again? The case, this guy's name's Jim Stone.
Yes, Jim Stone. Actually, two people, Jim Stone and Dutch Sintz. That's one word. Who that is, I don't know. It's a blogger. But, yes, Jim Stone has some remarkable information on his website.
It's got me thinking a little deeper. But, yeah. The one link he shows is there was the Fukushima nuclear plant had underground facilities there that were enriching the nuclear material for other countries. Mm-hmm. And they were open to contract. I mean, it's a open market, so they were under contract to produce that for Iran. Now if the powers that be wants to stop Iran, well, who would that be primarily? Do you think it could be China upset about Iran, who is an ally? Could it be another power in the Middle East? If I say who it is that being anti-Semitic?
Or anti-Chinese?
Anti-Chinese? No, you know, it's Mossad and Israel that's got all of the, you know, they just don't want Ahmadinejad to have any type of nuclear material, period. You know, yet, Don, I got to tell you, this whole hypocrisy just reeks. The Israelis have enough nuclear bombs already in their arsenal to destroy the world already. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to make it any less secure to have nuclear power plants online in Iran?
Well, there's another aspect to this thing in Japan. First of all, there are those of us that can discern what happened, but we were able to watch the videos that we were being shown. When they were talking about meltdown, and we were able to view some photographs, overhead photographs, looking into the containment area from the hole through the roof, and you could see a bunch of twisted metal and cables. And
mm-hmm. There you go.
And there was no fuel core. in that reactor, in that shot. You would see it. It wasn't there. In fact, it was speculated and surmised by some people that we talked to in Japan who were on the inside and said they couldn't understand why all this hype about a meltdown, that those reactor cores could have been removed several weeks prior to the event. Okay. Now, also, they showed shots of a black helicopter dumping water, and this thing was flying fast, and it was spraying all over the place. And this was supposed to be light water from the, I think it was transported by the U.S. Navy.
They should have made sure it was impregnated with the 528 love frequency. That thing, that stuff will stop anything and everything on the planet from being harmful.
So, you wouldn't think that they would spray it like that. They would hover above it and release the water, not spray it as they're flying and just, have it go just anywhere. Okay. That's expensive stuff, Plus, if you're allegedly using it to stop a meltdown, you would want to make sure that you got it on the area that you were trying to cool off, right? It was all a psyop is what it was. And we're all in agreement with that, all of us.
Well, again, you go to this to Jim Stone's posting of that OSS document. I mean, that's just pure evil that you can, again, manipulate the Earth's crust. What was amazing is the documentation that they would need to, again, monitor the seismic zones to determine, again, where the mini quakes or these quake clusters would begin, where they could be ripe for the creation of the tsunamis. You see, and that's exactly what's happened. It's utterly naive not to realize the U.S. Geological Survey is literally worldwide monitoring stations. It's exactly what the OSS said needed to happen for, again, under national security to monitor the world's seismic zones. Wow. And then, of course, the development of the HAARP technologies on top of that and the directed energy weapon, this which can, according to Thomas Bearden, can go miles underground or underwater. So it's a focus energy beams at a specific depth. So, you may not even need to have a nuclear bomb, or if there is one, it may be a small one to get some dominoes, like a trigger event to get the dominoes moving along, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're pretty much in agreement that they used scalar weapons, and that there were three specific frequencies used, and they were arranged in a way that they could cause, let's say, collisions with these frequencies at a certain point, and that's what caused the earthquake. And the other events were artificial in nature as well. The whole thing was planned. Look at the date. March 11th. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting date. See, they love those 11s.
They do. I talked about this briefly on my show earlier today. Don't I want to just kind of, and it does dovetail into this whole thing. This is here in the Salt Lake Tribune newspaper, World News, Israeli government to United States, free spy. I love that headline, free spy. Jerusalem Dateline, Israelis are rallying behind convicted spy Jonathan Pollard, urging the United States on Sunday to let the former Pentagon analyst leave prison to attend his father's funeral. Israelis widely feel that after 25 years behind bars, Pollard has been excessively punished. Pollard was a civilian intelligence analyst for the U.S. Navy when he copied and gave to his Israeli handlers, I love that word handlers, enough classified documents to fill a walk-in closet. Wow. Arrested in 1985 after unsuccessfully seeking refuge at the Israeli embassy in Washington, Pollard was convicted and sentenced to life in prison just 2 years later. He is scheduled for release in 2015. Anyway, now wait a minute. Golly, that's 30 years. Is that life? What part of life in prison is missing in that picture? But now the Israelis are demanding that he be let out. It's not a problem. Hey, Don, what is behind this one?
Tell you the truth, I have no idea. Is it that, unless they need him to go back to work for him again, you know?
Well, as I read this, I thought of just, you know, you remember 1985. Mm-hmm. I was going to college then. I was finishing up my undergraduate work. And by the way, I did get a bachelor's degree from an accredited university. Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Yay! Nobody's debating that part of it, you know, but oh my goodness. Don't go outside the box and get an unaccredited one, and no matter what you learn, it's not, you know, it's a fraud. That just burns my chaffin side too. But anyway, I'm thinking about the difference in values in our government. Here's Pollard. What would happen if a Pollard came forth today? And it was would there even be an investigation today, Don? I point to the events of 9/11. People are just not even discussing this because of, it's clear anti-Semitism to bring this up, that $2.7 trillion of Pentagon money went to Israel. The controller was an Israeli dual Israeli citizen. Hey, talk about treason.
That happened in subsequent years, at least three times. There was $2.3 trillion to $1.9 trillion or $2.1 trillion, and then another $2.3 on September 10th. The announcement was made in 2001.
And what about the Israeli handlers? And again, Dick Cheney comes in a televised press conference. He looked like he was, you know, forced to swallow a canary. You know, he looked like he was about ready to throw up and vomit. I mean, it looked like he was really had some acid reflux going on because he just didn't want to be in that news conference. This is the date. September 10th, the day before the demolition, he announced that these trillions of dollars are missing from the Pentagon. The area of the Pentagon hit by that cruise missile, not the plane now, it's a cruise missile, was that exact area that had all of the paper trails. That's just that's not talked about. Why?
Well, I've got a clip I'd like to play for you here. In fact, I was hoping to play this tonight, and it fits perfectly if you allow me.
Clip it, baby.
This is the sneak preview of Top Secret America by Frontline.
Don't you be playing Sherry Baby again there.
This is by far the longest and most difficult project I've ever done. So far, we're in it a year and a half.
She's won two Pulitzer Prizes for investigative reporting. Now Dana Priest has a new story.
I'm having interviews with FBI, with the CIA, with NSA, with, you know, just you name it. I've done hundreds of interviews, both in person and on the phone, and at all different levels.
She's trying to uncover the vast and hidden apparatus of the War on Terror.
It is like a gigantic onion. the peeling back the layers just has continued and continued and continued. And it's growing. So how do you even get your arms around that and say, you know, what is this world?
To tell the story, Priest formed an alliance with military expert and reporter William Arkin. Arkin lives in Vermont and works in his barn.
I like to catalog, list, and create databases and understand the totality of things.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Once competitors, now Arkin and Priest are working together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cautious dance between two people who are very secretive. But eventually we realized we were looking at exactly the same thing.
He is a compulsive collector of information. And he's got his secret computers.
Using the tools of the web, they began to build a map, trying to identify what some in Washington call the dark side.
Show. But this has been totally revamped since 9/11, completely. And so there's the helicopter pad for the helicopter that would come in from the White House. And here's the entrance to the bunker.
Everything here lives somewhere. So if we can start to map it,
two satellite receivers,
then maybe we could actually do sort of an alternative geography that you can't see because it's purposely hidden from you.
It's like a Cold War model superimposed on top of a post 9/11 world.
What I started to do is physically catalog the top secret America, the pieces of our government, our military, our homeland security apparatus, and our corporate world that were doing top secret work.
They began to uncover a massive hidden world of military, government, and private organization.
Here's all of General Dynamics in the country.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's something that I felt after covering the military for so many years and then the CIA. There was something out there that was not there before 9/11, and it was growing.
So Priest asked Washington Post photographer Michael Williamson to take pictures of the hidden sites Arkin was finding.
So can we just go over what you have?
Sure.
This is the picture that I went up to that credit union place.
Mm-hmm.
It's all surrounded with signs like this. It is.
For the rest of my life, I will never see the world the same way again, especially around Washington.
Yeah. So had it not been for the leaves off the trees and at night, you would never see this thing.
And yet it's gigantic.
Yeah. These buildings that,
well, I checked all the maps,
they might only be 4 stories high, but they go down 10 stories. And there's a whole world down there, like shops and places to eat and that you don't know about. That's just for them.
They are top secret intelligence buildings. And one day, as Williamson approached one of them, he was taken by surprise.
Cars, I don't know where they came from. I thought they dropped out of the sky and pinned me up against the curb. I wasn't even completely turned around. The creepy part about it was they didn't do anything for a couple minutes. And I literally saw commandos, you know, coming out of the trees. They had masks and big jackets and heavy weaponry. And just humorless, quiet guys the size of, you know, bears.
And
just
where were you at that time?
I was stuck behind the wheel, ordered to keep my hands on the wheel.
Priest decided to personally verify the actual buildings Arkin's web work had uncovered. Hundreds of secret locations hiding in plain sight in office parks.
And this is a gate to the NSA?
Yeah, there's a government facility back in there. You'll see it better after we turn down this room.
I met Dennis over the phone. I was looking for a realtor that might be able to take me around and show me the geography of what, in my mind, is this cluster, this density of top secret America.
You've got Titan in here. CSC is in one of these buildings. General Dynamics security station here in front where they check out the cars and look underneath.
Yeah, so maybe you should put the camera down now.
You just never know who's watching over here.
It is a world that has gotten so big. I think we're up to close to 500 organizations.
It's right through those trees.
And 2,000 contracting companies that do top secret work.
So you lease them the building, but you have no idea what they...
Well, you know, you don't ask. You know, you need it when, you need how much, and then you get out of the way.
There are close to 1 million people who are living in this different world. This has gotten so big, it's impossible to manage.
17,000 locations, 1,300 government entities, 3,666 private sector entities, 1,200 government agencies. When you stop and look at the sheer scale of it, it's an extraordinarily difficult story to report by virtue of what it is that we're trying to describe, which is top secret America.
The stories are breaking in the Washington Post, taking the measure of just how big, powerful, and unmanageable top secret America has become since 9/11.
Counter drugs,
the names of
counter IEDs.
Now, they played that, I suppose, in the fall of 2010. I didn't see that. In fact, I wasn't even aware of this clip being out there. That's the sneak preview of the show. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm a fan of Dana Priest from the minute she started posting her series in the Post there. At the Axiom conference, I referenced her work and her pictures. I'd been in communication with her myself concerning this NSA facility here in Utah. She wants to expose that next. I mean, that's a huge part of this whole top secret America story.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, in correspondence with Dana, she brings out, she says, I'm concerned that, again, by their own admission, they say that there are 380 some odd Al-Qaeda operatives that they're monitoring. And yet she shows the hundreds of billions of dollars and countless man and woman hours spent. Man, it comes out to like hundreds of millions of dollars per Al-Qaeda operative to monitor them. That's ridiculous. It's not, again, that's Hegelian dialectic. It's not the Al-Qaeda that's the issue. It's the 100,000 or so domestic terrorists such as you and me that they have to monitor.
Yeah, lately there's been this regurgitation of a story. You may have seen it, some $6.6 billion having, or somebody said at one time it was $12 billion, but let's say $6.6 billion in cash that was sent over to Iraq, and it just disappeared. Now, if you remember the Fort Hood incident, there was $100 billion that was sent over there to be, let's say, injected into the Iraqi economy to give it new life. And this was on the outset of the 2003 war that W started. And my understanding is that that money went to Jordan and then went back to Fort Hood. That's part of what Fort Hood was about, if you remember.
Right.
So the reason they're bringing this story out again is to deflect attention away from the fact that we pointed out what was going on behind the scenes at Fort Hood. And though they reported one shooting, there were three shootings going on in the area. And it was alleged that Hassan, the individual who was part of the president's think tank on sensitive issues with regarding the Middle East, was counseling some soldiers who were to be deployed, and that was at their barracks that occurred. But then he's blamed for the shooting that went on in the processing center. And that's not where he was doing the counseling, according to independent reports. Even in the church, they heard automatic gunfire taking place. And in that part of the base, they were closer to the airport where this heist was occurring. So when you start connecting the dots, you see it's always about money. It's always about money. And I had done myself quite a bit of research on Ameritrust Group, Inc., and it became clear to me that there were probably around 6,000 companies or businesses around the planet that were affiliated with that same network. I didn't count them all, but on the basis of what I was finding, it was interesting. You had a wig manufacturer in Korea that was doing $5 million worth of business every year, and they also sold medical supplies. There was, I'm going to say, a Malaysian company that was making nails, construction nails for wood, and they sold medical supplies. And as you looked at all these companies affiliated with this group, they all sold medical supplies. But that wasn't what their business was about. So it sounds like a fancy term for drugs, you see. And they advertised that on these pages, and it was managed by, from what I could tell, a Russian. It was a Russian who was coordinating all these groups. It was very interesting research. And this is going on here in this country, only they're doing it with real estate and insurance companies, beauty parlors, you know, styling salons, hair coloring salons, nail salons, a lot of that going on, a lot of it. And then, of course, internet business, working on websites, programming websites, mobile phones, mobile technologies, ton of it going on in the background. And you can see who controls the major corporations, the most present companies on the internet. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Any comment?
No, I'm just I'm in total agreement with that, Don. And just to add to that, let me just say on the record, I think it's really strange that, again, going back to the Gunderson saga, Ted Gunderson, a gentleman named Dane Phillips approached me after I presented at the Axiom Truth Conference there in Salt Lake last summer. He wanted to know about, you know, my presentation and really these, you talk about General Dynamics, you talk about Wackenhut and this corporation called Dying Corp. I call it Dying Corpse. But what's not being talked about, and you know what we are trying to expose, and I say we, there's a group of people who know the truth and are trying to get some light shine on this. The satanic ritual murder of children is absolutely devastating in this country and worldwide, Don. And so when you talk about the flow of contraband from Malaysia, from Cambodia, from Thailand, these other countries, the biggest flow, really, other than drugs, is these children that are being brought in. Some of them are sacrificed, human rituals. Some of them are brought into forced child prostitution, where they're paid high dollars for an encounter. A businessman, typically from the West, pay a lot of premium dollars for a young virgin, if you know what I'm talking about. This is an absolute real hideous problem that we outlined in a conference. Dane Phillips came in and financed the flight of Ted Gunderson. He flew Ted Gunderson in. He flew John DeCamp in. He flew in some survivors of the ritual abuse, just to get a handle on, you know, like in his words, to see who's who in the zoo, okay, to see what it's all about. And believe me, we pretty much figured out who's who in the zoo, who to trust, who's the real deal, who's really not, okay? And I'm not going to say anything derogatory about certain people in the conference, but let me just tell you that certain people didn't check out, some did check out, all right? What we discussed on videotape, when I say we, myself in a presentation and Ted Gunderson in a presentation, showed the updated information on the CIA group called the Finders. You know, we don't, for all of his attacks, certain individuals have never really talked about the Finders. What are they? Just some figment of Ted Gunderson's imagination? Who are they? What are they? What services do they provide, Don? You know, and it's again going into that human sacrifice section of it. And I got to tell you, there's a pretty doggone good new video out. It's just on YouTube. It's called Jewish Ritual Murders. This is the biggest single group that performs this. You got the Satanists, which are, you know, really not part of the Khazarian Jewish agenda, but the biggest single group that needs these children are these Khazarian Satanists, Don, and that's where the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center and your people appointed as gatekeepers. This is where they will come out and really start leveling charges of anti-Semitism and hate speech on you. You know, they reverse everything. When people in power in the government began in the 30s and 40s to expose these murders and crimes, even though the controlled media, the Jewish-controlled media, kept pretty much tight controls over the dissemination of the story, the Jewish lobbies began to scream blood libel. You know, this is the blood libel epithet is simply saying that these blood rituals that are real, that are occurring, to mention them is libelous. It's an actionable sin, you know, to, you know, maybe get you a prison sentence if they are successful. But does it change the fact that these children are being abused and killed? No. My goodness. And until the mainstream media somehow grasps on it, until Dana Priest, I told Dana, you know, and I challenged her. I says, you know, golly, look deep. And she said, it's like an onion being peeled back. Yeah. That's my words. This is what I told her. I says, this is a massive onion. You take away the skin and the first level, you got other levels. And when you peel down to the very core of this, you're going to see a satanic cabal of Babylonian imposters claiming to be God's chosen people. It's not anti-Semitic to declare the truth. These are not the tribe of Judah. By golly, it's not anti-Semitic to declare the truth. The king of Khazaria ordered all of his subjects to join a religion called Judaism. They began to adopt Judaic-sounding names like Solomon or Benjamin or Levi, or you have it. But they have zero ties to the Holy Land of Palestine. It's like a fish claiming to be a denizen of the desert. It doesn't fit, except when you look at it, it's a power center. It's a power brokering. It's a wedge into the oil-rich lands of the Middle East. And that's, again, you said it best, Don. Doggone it, it's all about money, power, and domination. It's ultimately what they seek.
Now, there's an a movie that was produced by a British film crew that was scheduled. In fact, I understand it was in the TV guide of the time this came out, Conspiracy of Silence, John DeCamp's research on what was going on in Lincoln, Nebraska. And, of course, that brings a lot of notorious names of some young children that were snatched off the street and forced into a lot of the acts that you've described, and some ended up missing. They were forced to witness these ritual murders, and that film didn't make it to mainstream TV, but at least it made it to YouTube, and I think Google Video as well. It's been removed and reposted by somebody else over the past few years. Why do you think they suppressed that? Was it the truth?
Absolutely the truth. And more importantly, it points to the real power brokers of this country. The Bush family, the Clinton family. That you don't ascend into politics at this high level unless you're into these events. I mean, that's just... You basically have sold your soul to the dark side. I mean, that's as clear as I can say it. They can call me a co-intel pro agent or whatever they want to call me, but the truth is the truth. I mean, it's just, you know, classic, again, Hegelian dialectic and Jesuitical argument. You know, I posted on my website, Don, this incredible story about, you know, I've been saying this for years and years, and finally somebody has researched and published this piece. Who are the Jesuits? In fact, who was the Pope? Who are the Catholic? Who's the Catholic Church? I don't know why this gets opposition from people like Eric Phelps. And others. I don't know what they're trying to disseminate. I have a problem with Eric Phelps hiding this fact. It's truth. The Jesuits come from the lineage of Herod Agrippa. That's who they are, the daughter of Herod, King Herod Agrippa. His daughter Bernice became a wife of Titus when he basically marched against the Holy Land. The ruling scribes and Pharisees basically went into the mother seven cities of Rome, the seven hills of Rome, and that's the origins of this religion called the Mother Church. It's not from Peter. It's the Babylonian bloodline, once again, the very same people who were the original Antichrist that tried and conspired to kill Christ as an infant, a young boy, who conspired to have him crucified. That's the reality. These are those same scribes and Pharisees. Now, out of the Vatican, we see the worldwide intrigue going into play. We see the emergence of the Khazarian faction, again tied to the Church of Rome. Who do you think Vlad the Impaler was? Vlad Dracul.
Romania.
Yeah, from Romania. Exactly. The Roman. Rome from Romania. That's their bloodlines. It corresponds so very well to those priests of Babylon, the ancient priests of Babylon. Just look at the very book of the rabbis. It's not called the Palestinian Talmud. It's not called the Jerusalem or Bethlehem Talmud. It's called the Babylonian Talmud. You know, my goodness, you research objectively, you track the bloodlines, and you start talking truth and you're attacked, mercilessly attacked by propaganda agents. That's the reality. It's a sad day in this world when evil is shown, is thought to be good, and good is labeled as evil.
That's the Hegelian dialectic again, isn't it?
At play, yeah. So yeah, I'll just, I invite people to go onto YouTube. This has just been posted recently. My fellow I've had on my show a number of times, Dr. Harel Rome, R-H-O-M-E, is prominently, his research is prominently displayed on that video, but this is done so well in actual showing archived footage, photographs, video clips of victims of this crime. It's not that they're just sacrificed and killed, Don. It's that they are tortured in the process. They utilize a very large nail. It's a specific Yiddish word for it. I'm not sure what it's, I'm not Yiddish, thank goodness, but when they do the sacrifice, the victim is bound and the skin is punctured literally hundreds of times. And I think it's, there was one account of a person that was stabbed and bled and over 600 puncture wounds throughout all the body. I would say, hey, how about 666 puncture wounds of something they call the nail, which is corresponds in their gematria, their sacred word geometry and letter geometry, to 6 equals the nail. In Yiddish, it's the dual meaning. The word 6 also means the nail. The symbol means the nail. And, of course, 6, we know what symbolism of 6 is, the serpent.
Yeah.
Do the gematria, Don, of 528. You add the numbers together, 7, 5 plus 2 is 7, plus 8 is what, 15? 15 just happens to be the, in the witchcraft, Satanist tarot card deck, it just happens to be the devil card. Follow the gematria to its final conclusion, 1 plus 5 equals 6, Satan's number. What, 528 hertz? The gematria and the secret societies is very clear. I'm just telling you. I've done my doctoral thesis, for heaven's sakes, was on the vibratory energy signature frequencies and what they do in the body. I've also taken the 528 hertz in my theorem and in my formulation. It corresponds to a something, every harmonic frequency corresponds to an atomic weight of some element or some chemical. 528 corresponds to an element called phosphorus, the green glow brimstone. What the heck? I'm sorry. I this is not an attack. This is just, to me, it reeks of closet New Age Satanism. Sorry. I just don't get it. I don't buy it. You're the maestro. What do you think?
I'm just listening. Well, it adds up. It's not even that we go out looking for these things. These things hit you in the face as you're doing other kinds of research. My research has been looking at history and seeing where it doesn't make sense, what we're told, and the amount of information that's out there. I get a lot of my information from reading books by well-respected, well-published, and well-known, world-renowned authors. And when they raise certain questions, and I don't see anybody really going out looking for the answers, I figure, why not? Maybe that's something I can do. And I have done that on numerous occasions. This is not about racism. This is about identifying who's at the root cause of these things. You know, it's like a general statement. Every time there is a war fomented by a government, it's always to protect the country. Yet we're not attacked by anyone from the particular country. Who from Yemen has attacked this country? Who from Libya has attacked this country? Even Osama bin Laden didn't attack this country. And they know it. And all the evidence points to it. I heard, I think it was Jordan Maxwell yesterday saying that Osama bin Laden had been killed four times. I think I've said that and a number of my guests. Four times? And of course, this last time, they dispose of the body so no one can see it. It might as well have been another 9/11, you see, because they disposed of the buildings and the body parts so that there could not be a scientific or a forensic investigation as to what actually happened. That's the truth, you see. That's what gets their dander up, is the fact that we keep asking those questions and nobody seems to want to answer it. But, you know, if you look at the Chilean quake that took place very recently, or not quake, but volcano, I misspoke. You look at the explosion of the earth and how it's coming down from a cloud that eventually develops into this huge mushroom cloud. It reminds you of the towers on 9/11. All the debris sort of fanning out and opening up like an umbrella as it's cascading downwards. That volcano did the same thing. It raises the question, what caused the volcanic eruption? You see, because we know pretty well that they used a nuclear device to create the volcanic eruption in Iceland. That just about ruined the airline industry in Europe, if you recall that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my research has been to look at what's going on, because I can see that what they tell us and what's actually happening in this world are two different things. They're not telling us the truth about anything. And when you examine history, you find that those that told us the story weren't even who they said they were. You see? So it's a worthwhile pursuit. If you're going to fix something, you have to understand what the cause of it being broken is.
And yeah, and again, I keep saying this, and yet, believe me, I've been to officials, law enforcement officials, contacts, and they look at me like, they just in their eyes, well, this guy's nuts. See, what's the programming going on to do that? Simply being, hey, who's got motive for 9/11? Who? Dov Zakheim and the military-industrialist complex of the Zionists? Big-time motives. Do they have means? Do they have access to the security of the World Trade Center buildings? Oh, yes. Strategic Planning Corporation has all of that. Again, you can't have all this forensic evidence going on, all these new videos, all of this, these testimonies of these demolition experts, these physicists like Stephen Jones and others, all well and good, but it's like going into a courtroom and going for a judge and jury and proving that the murder weapon was a 38 special and producing the murder weapon and doing a whole bunch of forensics evidence to prove who killed John Doe. But you look around and there's nobody on, you know, as a defendant. There's no suspect. Isn't that seem a little bit backwards, Don?
Yes, of course.
Why don't we should have indictments against Dov Zakheim and his whole cadre of Zionist Israelis, okay? I publicly have said this, and I publicly said this on my radio show. If I keep hammering this out, there's going to be an attack against me by somebody that's of Jewish extraction to shut me up. I know there was, you know, it was going to happen. You know, I shouldn't be surprised. I'm upset that it's the person who claims, you know, who many people look up to as being somewhat of an authority on conspiracies. You know, I'm just, golly, it's just so backwards. I don't hear him or Miss Kane talking about Dov Zakheim. I don't see them really pointing fingers at the obvious, this top secret America. I don't see them, this investigative journalist, so-called, doing anywhere 1,000th the work of Dana Priest. God bless her heart. She's doing a great job. I hope she gets 10 Pulitzer Prizes, Don. She deserves them. She got to talk to her about the death threats she's received.
Yeah, I can vouch for the amount of work that's involved in that kind of research, too.
Thankless research. I mean, but she's doing a great job, and it's so right on accurate. It's not casting aspersions. It's not some gut feeling in the dark, some little suspect, little he said, she said garbage. It's pure investigative journalism. And Dana Priest she's a hero, man. No. I'm glad you played that clip. That was fantastic indeed.
Well, I was hoping to be able to play it tonight. I had no idea what we were going to discuss, but spirit would have it, it leads us to it.
I never do, because this is all relevant because the next false flag event is on the way.
They're actually threatening there's going to be another nuclear disaster. I mean, how much in your face can they get?
Yeah, this whole shadow government that Dana Priest and others are exposing, this Mount Weather facility, the Denver, Colorado complex underground, this is massive. Massive, again, continuation of government, for heaven's sakes, Don. Well, we don't need government that causes the disasters to give themselves more power and, genetic and social engineering factors going on. It's just so flat out dangerous and wrong. Tonight is the night of the summer solstice. Tonight is the night of ritual, of orgy, of human sacrifice with the Satanists and those that practice the Kabbalah of the Freemasons, Don. Tonight is a night where many innocent children will die. That's a reality. I hope, you know, then pray that their agenda, again, their sacrifices to their demon gods, that they aren't in fulfillment of their agenda. The 23rd Thursday is a target date for some pretty amazing exercises, military speaking. I just think it's very strange it coincides with this high black Sabbath of the summer solstice.
Yeah, well, we need to be praying for sure. Dr. Ott, we're out of time. Please give out your website address for those that haven't been there yet or may have missed it when you mentioned your work earlier.
It's simply atrueot.com. Don't go to just trueot.com. That's our friend Dr. Horowitz has secured that URL, and it goes right to his hit piece. It's a character assassination piece on me. That's devious. I'm sorry. I think that is absolutely underhanded. But so it's atrueot.com. That's my blog. And, you know, I just barely posted the latest. I threw out an olive branch to the good doctor and Ms. Kane, saying, look, here is the evidence to show that I am not this David Main. I am not this alias. Here is incontrovertible third-party testimonial proof. And simply, if I'm not David Main, your whole charges against me is like a house of cards. It falls. See? But the response was so disheartening. Again, it reiterated that I'm a COINTELPRO agent. He began again to utilize the obfuscation techniques of the Jesuitical argument. Don't focus on the issue. The issue is, am I David Main or not? The issue, he began to go into attack Gunderson and other people again in email. So, I mean, I just posted for public. Anybody that gives a rip can follow the saga. You know, and ultimately, Don, when all said and done, does it really matter? You know, the big picture is so much more important to focus on, just what we talked about tonight, to focus on what the agenda is of these people, or these serpents, whatever you want to call them. I don't think they're human at all. They're too cold-hearted. They're too bloodlust. There's no word to describe the depravity that they have in their hearts and minds.
Well, I appreciate your appearance on the show tonight, and we want to wish you well. You'll be in our prayers, and you'll be back next Monday night.
Hopefully the, you know, each day that goes by, Don, in closing, it's just, you know, we don't have a major upheaval that will change our lives forever. We're walking on a knife's edge, literally, and I just thank God every day that we have some sense of normalcy. So with that, I'll say good night, and God bless to you and the listening audience.
Okay, same to you, and you have a good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network over at BBS Radio. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.